Well, there you are. Welcome to Redemption's Table. I'm Robert Barge, your host. I'm super excited about today's conversation with my good friend, Larry Cobb. Larry and I were sharing lunch this past week with a group of other dads when he told this story. During last week's solar eclipse, Larry's 10-year-old son was at home. Larry was at work at Alabama State University. Now, his son had the special viewing glasses one needs during an eclipse. His son also knew not to look at the sun directly without wearing those glasses, but Larry said he knew his son. Larry knew unless he went home to view the eclipse with his son would not keep those glasses on the entire time. Larry's a 24/7 dad. He went home and shared that moment together with his boy. He took a photo of himself and his son, and he told him, "We'll take another photo together in 2045 wearing these same glasses when the next total eclipse comes to Alabama." I believe my good friend Larry has discovered the secret sauce of fatherhood. During today's live table over Sausarita's 2 taco special, Larry never uses the term secret sauce, but I think he's found what it is. He's a 3D dad. His 3 children were born in 3 different decades. 20 years of continual fatherhood has gifted Larry with perspective and one particular parenting skill every child craves from their father. Larry listens to his children. And you're invited to listen as well. But first, here's Antoine Bradford singing his 2021 song, "Only You," off of his album, "Light Will Find You."
Only you could tear down my wall, break through this heart of stone. Only you, yeah. And only you can help me believe again and trust in your promises. Oh God, only you. You pull me through, yeah. And when I fall, I call on you. I call on you. I call on you. Call on you. And only you can fill me with peace, yeah, and heal my anxiety.
Call on you, know the name that can call on you. I call on you.
I am with my good friend Larry Cobb, and we are sitting at Sausalito's Fresh Mexican Grill in Montgomery, Alabama. Welcome to Redemption Stable, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good to have you here.
It's good to be here.
You are my friend. we've been friends now about a year.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. You popped in on an earlier episode, the episode on delight. What has amazed you recently?
What has amazed me? Huh. I guess my ability to be able to connect and manage with my children a whole lot better at this point. And I call it amazing because it's coming easier. Yeah, I have had to make a lot of effort at one point to try to be everything to everybody. Mm-hmm. And it seems like I was just spinning my wheels. And see, now it seems like they're just kind of like getting it. I'm kind of getting into a groove, if you call it that. And the way that they're kind of responding, because I expected some flack, but I'm not getting much of it from any of them, not even the oldest one. So that's kind of amazing that we're all on the same page, on the same accord for a change. So that's been kind of cool.
That sounds cool. You are a very unique dad, unique father. What are the ages of your children?
So my oldest turned 20 in February. My middle child will turn 11 in June. And my baby boy will turn 4 in July. So I have 3 children in 3 different decades. And I just celebrated my 49th birthday. That gives you any indication. I haven't been really, really busy, but I have been busy at certain times. over this period. So they say that children gonna keep you young. We're just gonna see how young we end up being. Oh, and that's the last one. That's definitely the last one.
So you've been a dad 3 times. You are a dad, but 3 different times. Brand new child comes along. Share the different dad seasons. How was Larry 20 years ago as a dad? How was Larry 11 years ago as a dad? And how is Larry 4 years ago and now as a dad? The progress, because, you know, often people have kids and they have them like maybe within a time frame of 5 to 8 years and then they're done. But you were kind of a different man. We grow. Mm-hmm. Describe those 3 seasons of dadhood.
So let's say though, so in the first season, it was the youth. Mm-hmm. Definitely youth. I really didn't, I had no idea what it was that I was doing. I was happy to be a father, but I didn't know how. I had no clue. You know, I was from just being the person that I was, I just thought that being a provider was what you needed to do. So I went and I worked and I worked and I worked. And, you know, the working did provide, but it didn't provide everything that child needed. Of course, I didn't find out a lot of this until later on with the coming of the other children, but we live and we kind of learn. So by the time I got to the middle child, it was still like learning all over again, because you're talking about like a 9-year period. Mm-hmm. In between. And so I went into it thinking that the first one and the second one would be alike. Bad mistake, because they were very different children, the way they acted and behaved. I always had a connection with my children where they would cling to me and be really, really on my heels. Mm-hmm. But this was a little different, being a boy. And so I was still kind of learning, trying to figure things out. I was a little better, but still trying to figure things out. By the time that last one got here, I had gotten it pretty much figured out. I have gotten so settled and desiring to want to be visible and being there. The funny story is that with my first two children, I barely held them until they were about 4 months. And with this one, we got pictures of us being on the bed hooked up from like the second day he got home. So I was in a much different place. But this last one has created a closer bond with the other two, because I've kind of learned over the years what it is that they all really needed. And that was just me.
Yeah.
So I've gotten better. I mean, there's still things now that I'm still learning,
mm-hmm.
but I'm more receptive to those things that I'm trying to learn. I know that even with three kids, I still don't know it all.
Yeah.
And so me being a lot more open-minded is what's being, it's really helping me in the relationship that I have with all my children now.
And I think that's absolutely beautiful, because sometimes as fathers, well, I've got this down pat. I've been a father for 20 years, or at that point, 16 years when the youngest came along. It would be easy to just, to have that kind of mentality. I got it. And also, you reach certain seasons, like I'm just speaking for me in my life, where I'm like, wow, you have some perspective, some time, 20, 30
yeah.
years, and you're like, oh, I wish I could go back and do that over
yeah,
again.
Absolutely.
And you're actually having the opportunity.
Yeah.
So, you sure you don't want to rethink, maybe 7 or 8 years?
Oh, I'm good. I think I'm good.
Well, you and I met, and we're continuing to meet every week in a dad environment around a table of guys. We have lunch every Tuesday mm-hmm. with fathers. Tell me a little bit about how that became such an important part in your life, because you've been coming how many years to this dad lunch?
So this will be at least 4.
Okay.
At least 4. A little more than that, because I started coming before the last child got here. And funny thing is that I didn't want to do it anyway. But it was during COVID period.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's like, you don't have anything else to do. You just get it, look at the material. And then, in the program, they offer incentives mm-hmm. for watching the videos and listening. So I said, okay, well, fine. I can get the incentives. I just listen to it. And, we'll go from there. But the more I listened and the more information I started to get, and then we started to meet, I realized how much I missed and did not know about being a father.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I sat, the more excited I got, and the more I listened. So it got to be where in the beginning I would miss a week here, miss a week there, to where now I get upset if I miss a week, because it gives me that opportunity to be able to listen and also be able to share. And I thought that I was going to do this, had a child, and then I was done with it. And now I'm looking at this youngest one about to be 4, and I don't see myself not going anytime soon. To be able to be in the room with not just me as a father, but other fathers,
mm-hmm.
and us experiencing some of the same things, and to be able to talk to them about some things they're experiencing, and also be able to see some things that I may experience or may have missed,
mm-hmm.
so where I may be able to get it better or get it right. So that's kind of what pulls me in, is to be able to continue to have that conversation, to continue to learn, and just to be in a room with like-minded people.
Yeah,
that's exciting for me. And knowing that I know that I'm with this group of people, I know that someone in this room really understands what I'm going through as a father.
Yeah.
That's what really drives me to come every single week when I can.
And that's where we met. It's at First Choice Women's Medical Center in Montgomery, Alabama. So it's a women's pregnancy center. But when the dads come, they have a program there for the fathers. And that's what brought you in, that mm-hmm. program.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year ago, I was asked to step into that role to be the Father's First Coordinator, I think is the official title. And so it's in that context that, you know, our friendship began. You know, you're there with dads, it's a group of fathers, and the fact that you've been coming for 4 years, over 4 years, and you're there, you are, I've told you, you're the heart and soul of our dad lunch, and you're kind of like our double agent. you were there as a father, but you're also there as a volunteer, a dadvocate. So I just really think that's super cool that you are, you know, both of those roles.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it. I mean, it's if I don't go, if I miss a meeting, my whole house knows because I'm just not right if I haven't gone to that meeting. So I've enjoyed every minute of it. I've enjoyed every aspect of it. Anything they ever ask me to do or you ever ask me to do, if I can do it, I'm definitely going to do it.
Well, I just think it's super, super cool. And I can tell it's your heart, too. It's, you know, it's what lights you up. When you start talking, you know, that's the thing. What's your number one dad rule? Do you have one?
Oh, my number one dad
rule? Your number one dad rule.
Listen. And not just, not hear, but listen. Open-mindedly, open-heartedly, and listen. Truthfully listen. There's a time when my children would come to me or my wife would come to me and they would say, I didn't talk to you. And I had already had my mind made up before I even heard what any of them were about to say. And I found myself in a position to where I was really missing out on some good dialogue, good experiences, and also some closeness that we could have had because I closed the door before they could even get through it. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, listening definitely helps. You know, it was a time where, you know, someone would say, hey, I need to talk to you, and immediately you're on defense. But I found out 9 times out of 10 when my wife or my children need to talk to me, I'm not in trouble. It's usually something that, you know, they want my opinion or my advice on. And now it's flattering to me that they would even want to hear what I even have to say. So I would say my number one thing is just to be listening, open-mindedly. Just allow people around you to be able to talk and to be able to breathe and to be able to connect with you. Because that's what we need. In order for us to be able to support them, we got to know what they want. Yeah. We got to know what they need. And we will never find out if our minds are open to it.
That's good. What's your 3 children, 20-year-old, 11-year-old, 4-year-old, what's your perfect day? How would you describe your perfect day with each one of them? Let's say, you know, it's their day, and you're going to go do something. You're going to go hang out with your daughter. And then the next day, you'll hang out with your son. What would you be doing those 3 days?
See, the funny thing about it is that I can have that perfect day, and we all be together. Because there's one thing that we all share. We love eating. I mean, we absolutely enjoy experiencing new places, experiencing new restaurants. And crazy as a coincidence it is, we all like Mexican. So I could pick her up. I could see us going up to Nashville, that's where she lives, putting the boys in the car, driving up to Nashville, picking a Mexican restaurant. Her and I eating tacos. The kids are eating dip. They're on their phones and just having a great time. If not that, traveling from Nashville to Montgomery with all 3 of them and just letting them have that way at the closest Buc-ee's we get to and just let them have it out because we all enjoy those things. We just like enjoy being together. And even with them having there's such a big gap in age, when I'm there, we're all together. You know, we all have this common bond because I'm the glue and they stick to me and I stick to them. So definitely a day. If we're eating or we have Buc-ee's, we're good.
Yeah. All right. You got one 50 miles up the road now.
That's one of the ones we stop at when I pick her up and we bring her home.
Yeah. So what's the perfect day like with mom? because we've been talking dad stuff, but you okay. know, there so, would be no there would be no father if we didn't have mom.
So the perfect day, we had the perfect day. Our anniversary is a week before my birthday, and what we did was we went out to dinner. My mother-in-law kept the boys, and we went out to dinner, and we came home, and we went to bed in peace. You know, there's no one screaming, there's no one yelling, there's nobody playing games, there's no one up late at night. It was just a piece of just being us together. Because I think that's important too. Mm-hmm. I think that when you're a couple and you pour so much into the children, you get lost. Mm-hmm. And then the children are grown and then the parents don't know each other. So we try to make it a point every month to at least have a date night. Or if we can't have a date night, we'll go to lunch. Mm-hmm. Maybe if it's an hour and a half, but we find time for just us without them. Not that we don't have fun with them, but yeah. we still need that time.
Yeah.
So, you know, anytime that we're just together, we might just be around. We may be around the house just doing nothing, but it's just the fact that it's just us.
Yeah.
So,
how important is the table to you? We're at Redemption's Table, but how important overall in your life? How much of a central object is the table?
Oh man! So that's where it all happens. The table for us. The meeting place, mm-hmm. you know, where we were at one point, my mother-in-law was living with us.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time when she was in between, they were trying to fix her place. And so she came to stay with us for a little while. And she said, you know what? I really miss the table because that's where we would go. We would sit, we would have breakfast. And after it was over, we would just sit and just talk about any and everything we just felt like talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get there, and before we know it, we sat in there for 2 hours, but we feel refreshed because we had an opportunity to really sit and bond.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, everything is central to the table. For us, it's a big thing because we, you know, me as a child growing up, we never really sat there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't look at the table just as the fact that it's a table, but it's a place for us to be able to connect, mm-hmm. be able to bond. And I think that was, you know, something that I missed. You know, my parents and I have gotten closer over a period of time, you know, without that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with that, we'd have been even closer,
yeah.
you know, as an entire family.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, and I pondered it, and I don't know if there's any one particular answer, but what makes coming to the table so conducive for friendships, relationships, conversation,
mm-hmm.
You know, good food and just good time together. It's kind of like you can always tell the measure of a table by how long people linger
mm-hmm.
after the meal is finished.
Yep.
Table is central, core.
Mm-hmm.
So you're 49. What advice would you give to the young fathers in Montgomery or really anywhere? You just found out you're a dad already too. I know it's easy to say you're going to be a dad.
Right.
No. She's pregnant and you participated. You are a father the moment mm-hmm. she gets the positive on the pregnancy test. What would you say to young fathers?
First thing I tell them is to breathe. First thing to do is breathe. But one thing that I find that we as fathers do is we overthink it. Don't overthink it. I think that children are a God-given gift. And God doesn't give children to you that he's not preparing you to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
That he's not going to assist you with. You know, it's you're not going to be out there on the island. So don't overthink it. You might do better to do more praying than thinking to kind of navigate through it, but don't overthink it. Every problem is not one that you can fix. You know, every issue is not going to be an issue. You know, some things may appear to be one, but you know, don't make it an issue if it's not one.
Mm-hmm.
And be cool. just be cool. You know, the things that happen. But one thing is very, I would like to definitely express to young fathers is to remember that they are important. They are important and they are necessary. And don't let anyone make them feel like they're not. You know, you have a place. Mm-hmm. And it's your responsibility to take control and take that space and that place, whatever it is, as that father. Because that child needs you just as much as they need the mother from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, from the time you find out, you are necessary in that child's life. You are part of the process from birth to death. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would make sure that, you know, any father, make sure you understand you are necessary and just don't overthink it.
Yeah. You work IT at Alabama State University. Mm-hmm. And a few months back, we were having a conversation, you and I were, and you made the comment about how students and coworkers would come into your office and just sit down and start talking to you. Mm-hmm. And you were like, when you shared that, it was kind of like with amazement, or you just how that had happened and is happening, and I'm assuming it's still happening on a regular basis. What do you think attributes to that?
You know, I don't know. I don't know, but I'm not mad about it. I'm not mad about it. There's this some type of magnetism I've had, you know, with people, and I don't know if I just look like I'm willing to listen. I have no idea, but I am, you know. Even you know, I don't always look inviting, but people still come in, and you know, they sit down, and I let them get it out. And sometimes it requires a conversation, but more times than not, it's just me listening. Mm-hmm. And nod my head and just letting them talk and get out. I don't know why. Like, I couldn't tell you. I don't know why my children are so attached. Mm-hmm. To me, I have no idea, but I'm thankful for it. You know, maybe God's using me as some kind of a vessel. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I'm not gonna question why He's doing it. I'm just gonna do whatever He put on my heart to do.
Yeah, that's good. I just have a holy hunch. I'm not saying this is it, but I think it connects to your number one dad rule. Yeah, I think, you know, as a father, so you are as a man.
Yeah,
and a coworker and a husband. So yeah, that's. Yeah, just remember that conversation, you know, when you shared that. Larry, what has been one of the most redemptive moments in your life?
One of the most redemptive moments. You know, I try to not be real super duper ultra churchy, mm-hmm. per se, but, you know, I had to kind of do it because there was a time and place and space in my life that I did not think that I would be where I am now. Mm-hmm. I worked in a, I guess you say, less than Christian environment, along with the job that I had, with some relatively bad habits. And in March of 2013, mm-hmm. I listened and I actually said, okay, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. You know, it's like, there was a time where God had been plucking at me and mm-hmm. plucking at me for years. I just kept pushing them off. I'm like, look, I ain't got time. I don't have time. I'm trying to work. I'm trying to take care of children. I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to do all of this stuff. I don't have time. And then I remember sitting at my job one night and I said, you know what? This is it. I'm tired. I done tried it my way. Let me try it your way. And here I sit with an awesome wife, three great children, a great and awesome volunteer assignment, and a group of people that support me. Mm-hmm. That had I continued on the road I was on, who knows? I know I wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation with you.
Yeah.
And I definitely wouldn't have been out of the first choice either. You know, I don't know where that path I was on was going to take me. But I'm glad that I listened and just said, look, you just take control and take me where you want me to go. And, you know, I've been kind of riding high since then. I'm not going to say that the road is easy, but I can see where it's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
To stay on course and stay on path. I mean, that, don't get me wrong, there are times when, you know, you have the bad guy sitting on one shoulder saying, hey, but I kind of have to thump him off and go with the one that's working in the right direction. So I think that's my biggest redemption moment, because I sometimes sit down and think about it, and I'm like, man, how did I even get to this place? Because this is not where I was headed.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful that I am here, that I'm at this place, that I had time, that my daughter allowed me the time to go through whatever my issues that I was having and still said, Dad, I'm here, or to get in front of those issues before I was responsible for raising these two individuals that look just like me and will be following me and want to do everything that they see me do. And now I'm okay with them seeing and doing it because it's the right thing.
Yeah.
So that's what my story is now. So, I mean, I get excited when I think about it, because it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I'm here.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm here.
I'm blessed. My life is blessed because you listen, and you're still listening. And so that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay.
With me and with our listeners. So, if you ever sometimes in a conversation with folks and you would like, I wish the person would ask me this about myself, you know, or ask me this question. Is there a question like that, that, you know, you wish somebody would ask you?
You know, I wish that you asked a question, and a question, it was a two-part question that you say you ask people, and no one ever walks in my office or my space, not my children. My wife sometimes hints at it, but never not, where's your hope? Or even, am I hurting? Or why are you hurting? You know, or are you hurting at all? You know, because I guess I spend so much time being the sounding board, that very rarely am I asked to sound. And those are moments that, you know, when I do get the opportunity and I'm able to release, it's like, you had all this built up. It's like, yeah. And then I feel bad because now I have to apologize, because I'm usually the one who is allowing the unload instead of being able to. Not very often. Usually I'm pretty cool, but there are those moments when I want someone to ask, are you okay?
Yeah.
How are you feeling? But fortunately for me, at least one day a week, every Tuesday, somebody's going to ask me that question.
Yeah.
And it's usually good enough to last me until the next Tuesday. Yeah. So it doesn't go without, it doesn't, it's at a point where it doesn't go without being asked. But if I had someone, if I had a question like this, what I would want someone to ask me.
Yeah. And those two questions, I feel like those, one of those moments, God just gave me those two questions. Yeah, it's amazing to me when you ask that, how often complete strangers will tell you, because a lot of people are hurting, and the hurting person may not say they need somebody to speak something into their life. And so, I wasn't expecting that to be your answer, but that's pretty cool. Those are two important questions. Well, we could sit around Sausalitos and stick around until dinner time, I think, and have a conversation.
Yeah, we could.
But I think maybe we'll wrap it up for the sake of our listeners. But I do want to end this conversation by saying, I love you, Dad.
I love you, Dad.
Did you know that was coming?
Yeah, I knew it was coming. It better be coming.
That's how we wrap up our dad lunch every week. So we love you, listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks again, Larry.
Thank you. I'll be back. I know I will.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Bye.
And only you can fill me with peace.
call on.